بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, we will be looking at the hadith number 15 from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين. The explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them, with the sharh or explanation of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr, hafidhahullah. The hadith for tonight in this, our 19th session, will be hadith number 15. Before we look at that hadith, we want to go back and review a little bit of what we covered in the previous session from questionnaire study guide for lecture number 18. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 14. The main topic or subject of hadith number 14. Talib?
That the life of a Muslim is sacred.
That the life of a Muslim is sacred.
Except in the three cases mentioned in this hadith.
Naam. Naam. Yani, sufficient, inshallah. The theme here is what? The sacredness, the sanctity of the life of the Muslim. But there are exceptions to that. Question number two, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi? Naam. Nasiya? Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, and the collection in which this hadith is found? Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, the Sahih of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. Question number three, what is the intended meaning of al-Thayyib al-Zani? What is intended, the intended meaning of al-Thayyib al-Zani in this hadith? And what is the punishment for the person who does this? Abdul Wali.
The married person or the person who has been married, and the punishment is they are stoned to death, as confirmed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Now,
by his actions and speech.
By his actions and by his speech. Now, yani the meaning, the intended meaning of al-thayyib al-zani in this hadith, al-thayyib is al-muhsan. Al-Thayyib al-Zani is the muhsan, the person who is married or has been married and consummated that marriage with a legitimate marriage, in a legitimate marriage, and that person commits zina. The punishment for this person is stoning until death. As the brother mentioned, yani, as confirmed in the ayat of Rajm, the recitation of which has been abrogated, the ruling of which remains intact, and in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, both by his speech and his actions. Question number four, explain the meaning of the expression qisas and mention an ayah in which Allah prescribes qisas for murder. What is meant by al-qisas? Naam, tafadhal.
Qisas is the like for like.
Al-mumathara, naam. Al-musawat, naam. Like for like. Yani that a person harms a person, the same returns. In this particular case, we're talking about somebody taking a life, that they should be killed. And an ayah in the Quran that mentions this. Now.
Ma'idah, ayah 45.
Okay, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 45. Anybody help us with the meaning of that? What's that ayah in Arabic first? Naam. In the beginning of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have prescribed, we have written for them in it, yani in the Torah, and nafs bin nafs, yani that a life is for a life until the end of the ayat, the other things that are mentioned in qisas. And also in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 178th ayat, where Allah addresses the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum al-qisas fil qatla, that it has been prescribed for you. Allah has made it prescribed for us in the case of murder. يعني that there's قصاص يعني life for life يعني like for like punishment person what they have done to a person the same to them. نعم.
So the text here, as you were saying, recommended, it also talks about the injury for the injury.
Injury for injury, نعم.
So if the finger is injured, then
the same thing should happen to the person who committed that crime, yes.
And then Ibn Kathir's text here goes as far as saying that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recommended to wait for the injury to heal.
Hmm.
So you can see the extent that you get your...
See the extent to which, yani?
Yeah.
Now.
Or you take the blood.
So, the point is that a person, any harm somebody, the same should be done to them. If they kill someone, they should be killed. Not imprisoned for life, natural life, double life, 3,000 years, they should be killed. And then, yani, there's also the family can of the deceased can pardon that person or take blood money and so on. Now, question number 5, what is the intended meaning of at-tariqu lidinihi? At-tariqu lidinihi. And mention a delay from the sunnah for his punishment. What is intended by at-tariqu lidin? Now,
somebody who leaves the religion of Islam.
A person who apostates from Islam. And the punishment for that person in the Sunnah is?
من بدل دينه فاقتلوه.
The person who gives up his deen, who apostates from Islam, then Allah orders that that person should be killed. فضل يأخي. نعم. That is, if a person didn't repent before, نعم. If they didn't repent before they were yani punished. Person might repent, نعم. If a sincere repentance, and he removes what is before it, نعم. Question number 6. Mention 5 of the 10 cases in which a Muslim may be punished by death, as mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. He mentioned 10 or 11, start with Nasir. Yeah, give us one and go around and shall we come back to you if we need you.
Homosexuality.
Homosexuality. Another. Talib.
Having relations with someone who is not permissible for you to marry.
Having relations with a person who has the close relationship that is prohibited for you to marry. Naam. The mahram. Naam.
The magician.
Naam. I mean?
Sleeping with an animal.
Naam. Yani having sexual relations with an animal, just to be clear. Make it crystal clear. Fadl, yeah.
The one who abandons salat.
The one who abandons salat, yani who doesn't perform prayer consciously, knowingly, intentionally, willingly. Naam. Adu?
The habitual drunk who comes within a fourth
time. Person who drinks alcohol on the fourth time. Naam.
Me?
Yeah.
The one who gets caught stealing for the fifth time.
The one who gets caught stealing the fifth time. Naam. How many is that? About 8?
Seven.
What about the? Yeah.
The second of the two to accept. The
if two people are given bay'ah to be the khalifa, the last of them, yani the one who took bay'ah from people after there's already a khalifa, should be killed. Now.
Take a weapon out to kill another Muslim.
To a person who draws a weapon to kill another Muslim. Now. Adu?
And the one who spies on the Muslims for the kuffar.
Now. Mention, and we said that some of these, yani, some of the mention of some of these situations or cases, yani, some of the hadith have question and some of them are strong, and there's difference of opinion about some of them. These are what was listed by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab in his explanation of this hadith. The last question mentioned 3 of the 4 fawaid, benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Mention 3 of the 4 benefits the author derived from this hadith. First of them is the topic of the hadith, right? Now,
three affairs permissible to kill another Muslim.
Okay, there are three affairs which... Okay, so the first one is that the blood, the life of the Muslim is sacred, except in those three affairs. Now, second benefit, he said from this hadith?
Stoning is the punishment.
Stoning, the punishment for...
For
a zani... المحصن. نعم. Third one.
Killing the
person who killed someone intentionally. With it, it was its conditions. Now, and the last of them. Now.
Was it that you can't? That is not up to the individual to punish the person, but it's up to the state.
Okay, that is. That's a point that we wanted to bring to our attention. That nobody has the right to take the law into their own hands and punish somebody just because that person committed a crime. Rather, it's up to the state to do so. But the last point was the punishment of the murtad. The murtad, the apostate, the person who apostates from Islam. Tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to look at hadith number 15, al-hadith al-khamis ashar, from the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. And we're reading from the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafizahullah, his explanation of the 40 hadith and the completion of them to 50 by Imam Ibn Rajab. In this hadith, he mentions, in the explanation of this hadith, he mentions 5 points. The last of them being the things that he derived from this hadith. So the 5 points before that. I'm going to also look just briefly at a little bit of commentary from some of the other scholars on the first of these matters when we get to the end, if we have time, بإذن الله تعالى. The Shaykh, first I want to mention that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of this hadith, in his brief explanation, he says, هذا الحديث من الآداب الإسلامية الواجبة. هذا الحديث من الآداب الإسلامية الواجبة. That these are obligatory Islamic manners or etiquettes. They are not something that a person has a choice in. Rather, it's obligatory upon us to do so. And this is very, very important. And it's not just highly recommended, it's mustahab, it's good to do, it's praiseworthy, it's commendable. No, it is obligatory. That's how Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen began the explanation of this hadith. The hadith is an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. And whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then that person must fell. This is lam al-amr, means that it's a command, it's wajib. Then that person must say that which is khair, or they must remain silent. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَهَرَهُ. And whoever believes in Allah and in the last day, then that person must honor his neighbor. فَلْيُكْرِمْ. لام الأمر. الأمر يقتدي الوجوب. It means that it's obligatory. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. And whoever believes in Allah in the last day, a necessary result and consequence and obligation for the person who believes in Allah in the last day is that they must honor their guest. He must honor his guest. رواه البخاري ومسلم. And this is reported by the two sheikhs, Shaykhain al-Bukhari and Muslim, رحمهم الله. First point the sheikh makes is in the general examination of this hadith, he said, جَمَعَ رُسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَيْنَ ذِكْرِ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فِي هَذِي الْأُمُورِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. That the Prophet ﷺ has combined in this hadith, in all three matters that he mentioned here, he combined the mention of Iman in Allah with the mention of Iman in the last day. And in each one of the three matters of this hadith, he mentioned both Iman in Allah and Iman in the last day. The Shaykh says, لِأَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ بِاللَّهِ هُوَ الْأَسَاسِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ يَجِبُ الْإِيمَانَ بِهِ. Because having Iman in Allah, it is the foundation for everything that it is obligatory to have Iman in. Everything that we must have Iman in, the foundation of it is Iman in Allah. And everything else comes from that. Therefore, anything which is obligatory for people to have Iman in, tabi'un lil Iman billahi, then it is subject to and following and a consequence of having Iman in Allah. everything that is obligatory to have imanin, it is yani following behind and subject to and a consequence of having iman in Allah. If a person has iman in Allah, then as a consequence of that, what follows is iman in Allah's angels, His messengers, His revelations, and so on. أَمَّا الْإِمَانِ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ As far as iman in the last day, فَفِيهِ التَّذْكِيرِ بِالْمَعَادِ وَالْجَزَاءِ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ إِنْ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرٌ وَإِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرٌ يعني, the mention of iman in the last day, the Shaykh says, it contains a reminder, a tazkir, a reminder of al-ma'ad, the return. Yani the return, that people will be resurrected and they will return for judgment. And al-jazah, that a person will be compensated for their a'mal. Whatever kind of deeds they did. If they did good, they will receive good. And if they did evil, then they will be compensated with yani evil, yani punishment. The first point that the Shaykh mentions is what? That the Prophet ﷺ combined in every one of the three matters of this hadith, the mention of iman in Allah, which is the foundation of every yani iman that's obligatory upon us, and yani the mention of iman in the last day as a reminder of the return, that we are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be called to account and people will be compensated for their deeds, good with good and evil with evil. The second point, the Shaykh talks about the first point of this hadith. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then what? Then that person must say that which is good, khair, or they must remain silent. He said, his saying, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, and he truly believes in Allah in the last day, has real iman in Allah in the last day, then that person is required, it's mandatory for that person to speak that which is khair, that which is good. Or, if there's nothing good to say, if they have nothing good to say, then they must remain silent. The Shaykh says, may Allah protect and preserve him, هذه كلمة جامعة من جوامع كلمه صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani this statement here is a comprehensive statement from the comprehensive speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which indicates مقتضاها وجوب حفظ اللسان من الكلام إلا في خير. Yani the meaning of this statement, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then they must speak that which is good or remain silent. He said, what is necessitated by this statement is the obligation of protecting and preserving one's tongue from speech, except in that which is good, except that they speak that which is good. Person has to guard their tongue, control theirself, and be careful what they use, what kind of speech they speak, and don't speak except in khair. قال النووي, الإمام النووي رحمه الله, in his explanation of this hadith, says, قال الشافعي رحمه الله. يعني الإمام النووي is quoting الإمام الشافعي. And this is the way of the people of Sunnah, that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin حفظه الله is quoting Imam Nawawi, and Imam Nawawi is quoting Imam Shafi'i, and this is how the people of Sunnah do. They don't just make up new stuff. Rather, the people of today take from the people of the past, and it was like that in every generation. Yani the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the yani second generation took from the companions, and so on. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, معنى الحديث إذا أراد أن يتكلم فليفكر. يعني if a person wanted to speak, they must first think. يعني before speaking, you have to first think. Allah gave us the ability to look at things, to analyze, to examine, and to be sure about what we do before we move. So if a person wants to speak, Imam Shafi'i رحمه الله says, فليفكر, then he must first think. فَإِنْ ظَهَرَ أَنَّهُ لَا ضَرَرَ عَلَيْهِ تَكَلَّمَ And if it becomes clear that there's no harm coming to him, then he speaks. If he sees that what he's about to say is not going to be harmful, then he speaks. وَإِنْ ظَهَرَ أَنَّ فِيهِ ضَرَرًا وَشَكَّ فِيهِ أَمْسَكَ But if it becomes clear to him that there's harm in it, or he has doubt about Yani, what it will lead to, what it will end up in, what will be its consequence, is it good or not? If he has doubt, then he holds back from speaking. He refrains from speaking. This was the statement of Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of the people of Sunnah, yani, from this ummah. The Shaykh now he quotes from another great Imam, Qala al-Imam al-Jalil Abu Muhammad ibn Abi Zayd, Imam al-Malikiyya bil-Maghrib fi zamanihi, rahimahullah. Imam ibn Abi Zayd was known as al-Malik al-Saghir. Yani he was from the Maliki madhab, and he was referred to as al-Malik al-Saghir, yani the Malik, yani like Imam Malik, who came after him. He was the Imam of the people of Maghrib, of the western part of the Muslim world, in his time, yani the leader of the people of that part of the world. He said, جَمِيعَ أَدَابَ الْخَيْرِ تَتَفَرَّعُ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ أَحَادِيثِ, that all of the manners, the etiquettes of khair branch out from four hadith. So if a person wants to have good manners, they want to have good behavior, good conduct, he said all of the good manners branch from four hadith. The first of them is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكن خيرا أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then he must say that which is good or remain silent. The second of them is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه, that from the goodness, the perfection and the completion of a person's Islam is that they leave alone that which doesn't concern them, that which is not important, that which is not going to be of benefit to them in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether in their worldly affairs or in their religious affairs. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم to the one that he abbreviated his advice to him, he said, لا تغضب, do not be angry, do not be angry. And this is a very extremely important hadith, especially in the society that we live in, where people are aggressive and violent and become angry and do things that you later regret, if not in this world, in the next life. And his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that no one of you has complete and perfect iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Yani in his heart, he has a desire that his brother has what he loves for himself of good. After this, he mentions a statement, yani, وَنَقَلَ النَّوِّي, الْإِمَامُ النَّوِّي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, عَنْ بَعْدِهِمْ, yani that one of the earlier people, he said, لَوْ كُنْتُمْ تَشْتَرُونَ الْكَاغَضَ لِلْحَفَظَةِ لَسَكَتْتُمْ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْكَلَامِ. الْكَاغَضَ is a Persian word that means al-waraq. Yani if you, yani one of the people of the past said that if you all were required to purchase the paper that the recording angels write your speech upon, then you would have remained silent from much of the speech. And in other words, people talk a lot. If you were required to purchase the paper that the angel is recording your speech has to write upon, if you had to buy that paper, the amount of speech that you are speaking, you would be slowing down. You would be not speaking so much. That's how much people are talking. It is mentioned also, and the Shaykh didn't mention this, but connected to that statement is the statement that's attributed to Aisha radiallahu anha, that she used to send a message to the sisters after the Salat al-Isha to the women, تَقُولُ لَهُنَّ أَلَا تَرِحْنَا الْكُتَّابِ, will you not give the writers some rest after Isha? And you go to sleep. Take a break. The next point, third point, the Shaykh talks about the word khair. Yani, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا, then he should say that which is good or remain silent. He said, الخير اسم يقابله الشر. Yani, خير is a word, yani the opposite of it is شر, evil. That's one of the meanings of خير, yani it's the opposite of evil. وَيَأْتِ أَيْضًا خَيْر أَفْعَلْ تَفْضِيلٌ حُذِفَتْ مِنْهُ الْحَمْزَةُ وَقَدْ جَعَى He said, and the, another meaning of it is yani af'alu tafdil, yani a word that's used to show that something is better than, like akbar, asghar, but the hamza in the beginning of khair was removed, so it became khair instead of akhyar. He said this is another meaning of khair. One meaning, the opposite of shar, another meaning that something is better, yani it is better than something else. And this has been combined in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 70th Ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِمَنْ فِي أَيْدِيكُمْ مِنَ الْأَسْرَى. Say to all Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to those who are in your hands, from the captives, those who you have taken captive, إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That if Allah knew, if Allah saw in your hearts khayran, yani khayran meaning the opposite of shar, then He would have given you khayran mimma ukhidha minkum, then He would have given you khayran, that which is better than what has been taken from you. And Allah is forgiving, merciful. Yani in the first khayr, the meaning of it is, if He had saw in you khayr, meaning the opposite of shar. And the second one He said, then He would have given you khayran, that which is better than that which was taken from you. Here in this ayah, both yani meanings or uses of khair is mentioned. And the Shaykh, yani Shaykh Abdul Muslim, actually in the book he summarized, he said he's going to summarize everything here, but in other places he also mentioned a lot of other examples, ayahs from the Quran, hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where this word khair is used in both meanings in one statement. And this is just one of them. The fourth point is the second aspect of this hadith, or the second matter in this hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim jarahu." And by the way, as we go on to the second point, I want to remind us of the extreme importance of the first matter, that whoever believes in Allah on the last day, they must speak good or remain silent. This is extremely important, especially yani for people who are in a society, in a culture where, and just talking, people saying anything without any restraint or any restriction or any concern. People just talk and say anything, even the Muslims. Then this is of great importance, that as Muslims, we have to be different. We have to distinguish ourselves from the other people whose tongues, yani, are just loose. We have to distinguish ourselves. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, fal yukram jarahu, then he must honor his neighbor. The right of the neighbor is from the confirmed, established rights upon one's neighbor. The right of neighbor is something that's confirmed. يعني من الحقوق المؤكدة على جاري. And it has come in many hadith, the encouragement, الترغيب, for honoring the neighbor, and الترحيب, the discouragement from harming the neighbor or causing anything harmful or annoyance, yani, to afflict them. And from amongst those hadith concerning the encouragement of yani, being good to one's neighbor and not harming one's neighbor, is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, مَزَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِي بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ذَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. Yani, that Jibreel alayhi salam continued to advise me concerning the neighbor until I thought that he is going to, yani, make him become an inheritor. That's how, yani, the right of the neighbor is, to that extent that he thought, yani, that he constantly reminded him, advised him to be good to your neighbor, to the extent that he thought that he would make him inheritor. And this is hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Also the hadith also recorded by Al-Bukhari Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, Wallahi la yu'min. I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. Wallahi la yu'min. They said, Man ya Rasulullah? Yani, who is it that doesn't believe? He said, Alladhi la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. Yani, the person whose neighbor is not safe from his harm or his evil doing or evil behavior. The person whose neighbor is not safe from his harm or his evil behavior. This is hadith reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim. Then the Shaykh summarizes, what is it what is intended by honoring one's neighbor? وَإِكْرَامُهُ يَكُونُ بِأَنْ يَصِلَ إِلَيْهِ بِرُّهُ. Yani, honoring the neighbor means that you cause goodness to reach your neighbor, that you are good to your neighbor. Yani, that you exert, extend yourself in doing good to your neighbor. وَأَنْ تَحْصُلَ لَهُ السَّلَامَةُ مِنْ شَرِّهِ. And that he also achieves safety and security from that neighbor's evil. Yani, that you cause yani goodness to reach the neighbor and that you make them safe from any harm from you. So honoring the neighbor is in two things, doing good to them and preventing oneself from harming them in any way. Then the Shaykh says, وَالْجِرَانُ ثَلَاثَ. Yani, neighbors are three types or three groups. The first of them is جَارٌ مُسْلِمٌ ذُو قُرْبَى. Yani, the neighbor who is a Muslim and also a near relative. A neighbor, they are also a Muslim and they are near relative. This is the first category of neighbors. لَهُ ثَلَاثَةُ حُقُوقٍ. So this person has three rights. The right of جِرَان, the right of neighbor, of being a neighbor, and the right of qaraba, being a near relative, and the right of Islam. And they have rights over you because of what? Because they're your neighbor, and because they're your near relative, and because they are a Muslim. The second category of neighbors is jarun Muslim, laysa bi dhi qurba. Yani, the neighbor was a Muslim, but doesn't have any near relation to you. This neighbor has two rights. The right of Islam and the right of being a neighbor. And the third category is جَارٌ لَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمْ وَلَا ذِي قُرْبَى. The neighbor who is not a Muslim and who is not a near relative, and this person has one right, that is the right of being a neighbor. The neighbors that have the most right to your good, kind treatment is the one whose door is nearest to you. And this is because they witness what goes into the house of the neighbor. They see the good things that are going through the door, and they, yani, have an eye on it. They look out for it. And they hope, yani, to receive some goodness from their neighbor, from what their neighbor has, yani, to share something with them. The fifth point the Shaykh mentions, and this is the last point of the explanation of the hadith before the manners that are derived from it. He says, yani, in reference to the third situation, or the third, yani, thing, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, فَلْيُكْرُمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then he must honor his guest. The honoring of the guests, the Shaykh says, إكرام الضيف من الحقوق التي للمسلمين على المسلمين. Can somebody help me what that means? The point that I'm trying to bring out here is that, yani, honoring the ضيف, the guest, is from the rights that Muslims have over Muslims, not other people. يعني من الحقوق التي للمسلمين على المسلمين. ها؟
فقط.
I didn't hear you say.
فقط.
فقط. فقط. أيه ده. نعم. يعني this is the right of a Muslim over another Muslim to take you in as a guest. يعني a person is traveling, and in this day and time there are hotels and places, but in those days there was no place. If a person was traveling, they stopped in any place, they had no place to go. There was no hotel, there was no place to take you in, there was no place to get food, there weren't restaurants. So, taking a person in, hosting them, was really, really important. So a Muslim who was traveling, he had this right that you have to give him some consideration, which is critically important. And even today, sometimes that could happen. Even with everything, a person might be, the Jews have something like this, right?
Yeah.
Down the street here. Where a Jew who is stranded someplace, he can go in there and they take care of him. But this is not an institution per se in Islam. This is the right that Muslims have over other Muslims. Everybody, yani, participates in this. The Shaykh, he says, this is the right of Muslims over Muslims, and this is from makarim al-akhlaq, yani from noble character and manners. And in the Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 6019, from the hadith of Abu Shurayh radiallahu anhu, he said, سمعت أذناي والأبصرت عناي حين تكلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يعني my ears heard and my two ears heard and my two eyes saw when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke and he said, meaning I was looking at him and I was listening to him directly. I heard this from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. يكرم جاره. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then he must honor his neighbor. ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فيكرم ضيفه جائزته. Then whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then he must honor his guest with his jaiza. قيل وما جائزته يا رسول الله. They said, what is his jaiza, O Messenger of Allah? He said, يوم وليلة. And his jaiza is that he has a right to being honored, fully honored, taken in and taken care of for a day and a night. For one day and one night. والضيافة ثلاثة أيام. And then hosting them, they have a right for 3 days. That's hosting is for 3 days. And وما وراء ذلك فهو صدقة عليه. And anything more than that is just صدقة. So a person, when they host somebody, a guest, they take good care of them, at least for a day and a night, and then يعني hosting them could be further for 3 days, and anything beyond that يعني is just صدقة. Here the Shaykh mentions the benefits from this hadith. Before we mention the benefits from this hadith, I want to mention concerning the first point of this hadith, which yani it may differ from one person to another, yani our shortcoming in hosting a guest on honoring our neighbor might be a problem, but probably our greatest problem for many of us is our tongue. I want to read just briefly, yani just a little bit of what Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the Shafi'i Madhab, one of the great scholars of the Ahl al-Hadith, in his explanation of this hadith, I'm just going to read 2 points that he said. He said, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, he said, يعني من كان يؤمن الإيمان الكامل. And whoever believes in Allah on the last day means the person who has complete and perfect iman. المنجي من عذاب الله الموصل إلى رضوان الله. يعني the iman, the complete and perfect iman, which will save a person from the punishment of Allah and will lead them to the pleasure of Allah. The person who has that iman, فليقل خير أو يصمت. Then that person must say that which is good or remain silent. لأن من آمن بالله حق إيمانه خاف وعيده ورجى ثوابه واجتهد في فعل ما أمر به وترك ما نهى عنه. يعني why must he do this? It is because the person who believes in Allah with the iman that Allah is entitled to, that person fears Allah's punishment, and that person has hope of Allah's reward, and that person strives to do whatever Allah has commanded and to leave what Allah has prohibited. That's the person who has yani true iman. Then he says, I'm skipping yani waqala, yani he mentions some hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From amongst them he said, every speech of the son of Adam yani is against him, except dhikrillahi ta'ala wa amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyi anil munkar, except the remembrance of Allah and enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong. He said, therefore, faman 'alima dhalika wa amana bihi haqqa imanihi ittaqa Allah fi lisanihi fala yatakallam illa bi khair aw yaskut. So whoever knows this, yani that a person is responsible for their speech and that it will be against them unless it's good, then whoever knows this and believes it and believes in Allah with the iman that he is entitled to, then this person guards their self, guards their tongue, yani they observe taqwa of Allah in reference to their tongue, and they do not speak unless they say that which is good or they remain silent. And finally, I'm just going to skip a couple of pages and read finally what Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid said. As far as his saying, the saying of the Prophet, he goes back to that statement again, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then say that which is good or remain silent. He said, this indicates that speaking good is better than remaining silent. And some people never say anything. But sometimes you need to say something. Speaking good is better than remaining silent. And remaining silent is better than speaking evil. And that is because Allah has commanded one to speak good. He said, Bilam al-Amr. When he said, Yani say that which is good, he used the lamb that indicates a command. And because he began, Yani with speaking good, before he mentioned remaining silent, which is an indication that speaking good is better than remaining silent. However, if a person doesn't have anything good to say, then remaining silent is better than speaking evil. And then the last point I want to make from Al-Imam Ibn Dhiqiq al-Eid, he talks about what is khayr. Then say that which is good and remain silent. What is khayr? And he says that which is good. What is this good that you should be saying or remaining silent? And he mentioned from among the things that are considered to be good is al-iblaagh anillahi ta'ala wa an rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That a person conveys the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ta'aleem al-muslimin. And that a person engage in teaching the Muslims that which is of benefit to them. وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ عَنْ عِلْمٍ وَإِنْكَارُ الْمُنْكَرِ عَنْ عِلْمٍ. That a person enjoys the good and forbids the evil based upon knowledge. Not telling people do this and don't do that without knowledge. But enjoying the good and forbidding the evil based upon knowledge. وَالْإِصْلَاحْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And the rectification and reconciliation between the people. Yani people who have problems with one another. And that a person, وَأَنْ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Yani, this is from the ayah in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, 83rd ayah, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Shaykh Muhammad, Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di in his tafsir of this ayah, and say to the people that which is good, he said the meaning of this is enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, and teaching the people knowledge, and giving salams, and smiling at people. And also part of this is that a person, yani, prohibit, they abstain from evil speech. Hatta lil kuffar. Hatta lil kuffar. That a person refrain from evil speech. Even with the disbelievers. Tayyib. One more comment that I want to make, I'll save it for the end, so I can emphasize this point a little bit. The points derived from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions point number 6, وَمِمَّا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. Number 1, التَّرْغِيبُ فِي الْكَلَامِ فِي مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ. Encouragement to speak in those matters which are good. We are encouraged to speak, but encouraged to speak in what? In matters that contain khayr. The second matter, he said, التَّرْغِيبُ فِي الصَّمْتِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ التَّكَلُّمْ بِخَيْرٍ. That we are encouraged to remain silent if the situation is what? That what a person is going to say is not good. Then in that case we are encouraged to remain silent. Number 3, التَّذْكِيرُ عِنْدَ التَّرْغِيبُ وَالتَّرْهِيبُ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ لِأَنَّ فِيهِ الْحِسَابُ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ. Yani, a reminder. Reminding people of the last day on the occasion of a targhib ut-tarhib. Yani when a person wants to encourage somebody to do good, or they want to discourage somebody from doing evil, make a person fear doing evil. At that time, we should remind people of the last day. Because in it is al-hisab, the accountability or the taking of account for deeds. If you want to encourage people to do good, remind them that there is a day of accounting where Allah will reward you. You want to discourage people from doing evil, remind them that there is a day of accounting where Allah is going to punish people for their evil. The fourth point is targhib fi ikram al-jar, yani encouragement to honor the neighbor. Wa tahdhir min idahi, and the warning against causing any harm or annoyance to one's neighbor. Number 5, al-haf ala ikram al-daif wal ihsan ilayhi, yani the urging a person to honor their guest and to do good by them, to treat them well. And also from the benefits of this hadith are four benefits mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his explanation of this very same hadith. He said, "ففي هذا الحديث من الفوائد." Yani in this hadith there are fawaid, a number of benefits. Now, the first benefit he mentions is wujub ikram ajjar, that the obligation of honoring the neighbor, the obligation of honoring the neighbor. فَيَكُونُ بِكَفْ الْأَذَىٰ عَنْهُ وَبَذْلُ الْمَعْرُوفِ لَهُ. And this entails restraining oneself from harming the neighbor and exerting oneself, expending yani one's ability to do good to the neighbor. Yani holding oneself back from harming them and extending oneself to do good to them. Then the Shaykh says in this first benefit of the hadith, فَمَنْ لَا يَكُفُّ الْأَذَى عَنْ جَارِهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ. So whoever doesn't hold back, restrain himself from harming his neighbor, فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ, then this person is not a mu'min. And of course, yani the negation of iman here, as we discussed a few weeks ago in another hadith, it means the negation of yani kamal al-iman al-wajib. Kamal al-iman al-wajib. Not al-iman al-mustahab. Yani the obligatory aspects of iman. And the Shaykh talks about this as well in the end. He said, so whoever doesn't refrain from harming the neighbor, this person is not a believer. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith and in another hadith. He said, Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. Yani, by Allah he doesn't believe. And he repeated that and they said, who, O Messenger of Allah? He said, the one whose neighbor is not safe from his harm, from his evil behavior. And in a narration in Sahih Muslim of the same hadith, he said, لَا يَدْخُلْ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَاعِقَهُ. That a person will not enter Jannah if his neighbor is not safe from his harm. The second benefit from this hadith, the Shaykh says, وُجُوبْ إِكْرَامُ الضَّيْفِ, the obligation of honoring the guest. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ, then he must honor his guest. And from the aspects of honoring the guest, treating them well. وَالْوَاجِبُ فِي الضِّيَافَةِ, and what is obligatory in hosting or taking somebody as a guest is يَوْمٌ وَلَيْلَةٌ, a day and a night. وَمَا بَعَدَهُ فَهُوَ التَّطَوُّعُ, and anything after that is voluntary. And then he says, وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِلضَّيْفٍ أَنْ يُكْثِرَ عَلَى مُضِيفَ عَلَى مُضِيفِهِ بَلْ يَجْلِسْ بِقَدْرَ الدَّرُورَ. It is not befitting, it is not proper for a guest to stay long, yani to increase yani their stay over their host. Rather, they should only stay yani to the extent that is necessary, and not beyond that, not taking advantage of people. And if فَإِذَا زَادَ عَلَى ثَلَاثَ أَيَّامٍ, if a person stays for more than 3 days, then they must seek permission from their host, حَتَّى لَا يُكَلِّفْ, so that they don't yani make a burden or be a trouble or bother yani that person who has yani taken them in. The third benefit from this hadith, Shaykh says, رِعَيَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ لِلْجِوَارِ وَالضِّيَافَةِ, yani the care and attention that's given by Islam to neighbors, to being a good neighbor, and to hosting people. فَهَذَا يُدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَنَّهُ مُتَضَمِّنٌ لِلْقِيَامِ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَحَقِّ النَّاسِ. And this is an indication of the perfection of Islam, and that it entails, it encompasses fulfilling the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as fulfilling the right of the people. And Islam is not just a person coming to the prayers, fasting and charity and reading Quran, and then treat people however they want. The fourth point, the last point that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentions from the benefits of this hadith, أَنَّهُ يَصِحُّ نَفْيُ الْإِيمَانِ لِإِنْتِفَاءَ كَمَالِهِ, yani that it is correct, that it is yani proper, the negation of iman, negating iman, saying a person doesn't have iman, due to the negation of its completion, its perfection. And we talked about this a few weeks ago a little bit, but the Shaykh is mentioning a point here that I think brings even further clarity. Yani it's correct that iman can be negated for the negation of its perfection. The perfection of al-iman al-wajib. Again, not al-iman al-mustahab. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then speak that which is good, remain silent, honor your neighbor, honor your guest, whoever believes in Allah on the last day. So if these things are obligatory, then a person's iman can be negated for the yani absence of the fulfillment of these obligatory aspects of iman. The Shaykh says, نَفِي الْإِيمَانِ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ yani this is a fine point that's yani requires some careful thought, okay, and attention to understand properly what he's saying. It's very important. This is an aspect of our aqidah. And the misunderstanding of these matters related to iman is what led and continues to lead a lot of people astray. Yani people who deviated, whether they were Khawarij or Murji'ah or other than them from the people of today, because of misunderstanding of iman and the negation of iman. The Shaykh says that the negation of iman is divided into two types or two divisions. Nafyu mutlaq and mutlaq nafi. Nafyu mutlaq, yani he said that wa in al insan bihi kafir kufran mukhrij min al milla. Yani nafyu mutlaq means complete negation of a person's iman. He said a person becomes a kafir that takes them out of the fold of Islam if the iman is negated. Yani if it's nafi mutlaq. This means that it's yani it is the negation of aslul iman, that they have no iman at all. That is what he means. He said the negation of iman is divided into two types. One is nafi mutlaq, yani complete and perfect negation. The negation of aslul iman. A person has no iman at all. The second one, he said, mutlaq nafi. Mutlaq nafi, yani, he said, وَهَذَا الَّذِي يَكُونُ بِهِ الْإِنسَانِ كَافِرًا مِنْ هَذِي الْقَصْلَةِ الَّتِي فَرَّطَ فِيهَا لَكِنَّهُ مَا هُوَ أَصْلُ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani, in other words, a person, yani, mutlaq nafi means the negation of an aspect of iman that is obligatory upon the people, that they neglected or failed to fulfill. لَكِنَّهُ مَاهُ, but at, along with that, that person still has with him يَعْنِ مَاهُ أَصْلُ الْإِيمَانِ, in spite of the negation of some يعني part, some portion of iman, not the absolute negation of iman, but some the negation of some portion of iman in the aspect of the obligatory aspects of iman that a person neglected. But that person still has with them Asl al-Iman, that is, meaning that they are still a Muslim. They are still a Muslim. And this is similar to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said. He referred to, using this kind of language, al-Iman al-Mutlaq and Mutlaq al-Iman. Al-Iman al-Mutlaq, al-Iman al-Kamil. And here we have what? Yani Nafi Mutlaq. Yani the complete Nafi of Iman. And Mutlaq al-Iman, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, Asl al-Iman, that a person has some aspect of iman, and that's what it means here, the negation of some aspect of iman. And the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Taymi, he says, وَهَذَا مَا عَلَيْهِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يعني الإنسان قد يجتمع فيه خصال الإيمان وخصال الكفر. That this is what the people of the Sunnah, أهل السنة والجماعة, are upon. This is the منهج, the يعني methodology, the way of أهل السنة والجماعة, that a person might combine within them some aspects of iman with aspects of kufr. That a person, يعني, and it's not like if a person does anything that is an aspect of kufr, khalas, they go out of Islam. A person may combine iman with some aspects of kufr. And the last thing I want to mention as we close now, and we have 5 minutes remaining. Yep, 6 minutes. The last thing I want to mention is, it goes back to the first point of this hadith, which I think is of tremendous importance. A statement in which Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, in his explanation of Bulugh Maram, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, yani the summary of what he said is, speaking little and only saying that which is good And he's not speaking a lot. And when you speak, you only say that which is good. And he's not just only speak that which is good, but don't speak a lot. And when you speak, only speak that which is good. He said, this is the manhaj of the mu'min. And today we hear a lot about manhaj. But this is a manhaj that, yani, sometimes we have forgotten about, or we don't know about. Or at least in our behavior. The Shaykh, actually he's explaining another hadith in Bulugh Muram. He was explaining the hadith of Mughayra ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said that indeed Allah has made forbidden upon you disobedience to mothers and burying daughters and holding back and requesting or demanding. وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ وَكَثْرَةُ السُّعَالِ وَإِضَاعَةُ الْمَالِ. And Allah hates for you قِيلَ وَقَالَ, yani gossip. So when somebody said, or so-and-so said, and asking a lot of questions and wasting wealth. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In that explanation of that hadith, Shaykh Al-Uthaymin rahimahullah says, وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِ الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْرَ قِيلَ وَقَالَ. From the benefits of the hadith is that Allah hates gossip. Yani, it was said, and so-and-so said. وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And for this reason it came in another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. In another hadith it came where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then he must say that which is going to remain silent. Min kamal imanika, yani from the completion and perfection of your iman, alla taqula illa khayran, that you don't say anything unless it's good. Wal ajab anna man kana hadha manhajuhu. And what is amazing is that the one who this was his manhaj, that he didn't speak unless he said that which was good, he said, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلَمُ مِنْ شُرُورٍ كَثِيرًا. This person will be safe from a lot of evil. وَمَنْ كَثْرَ كَلَامُهُ كَثْرَ سَخْتُهُ. And whoever spoke a lot, talked too much, then they felt they made a lot of errors and mistakes. لكن من قل كلامه, but the one who speaks a little bit, وكان لا يتكلم إلا بخير, and if he spoke, he only says that which is good, فهذا هو المؤمن وهذا هو السالم. This is the believer, and this is the one who is safe and saved. يعني whoever قل كلامه, he spoke a little bit, and when he spoke, لا يتكلم إلا بخير, that he didn't say except that which is good. فَهَذَا هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. This is the believer. This is the believer, and this is the one who is safe. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. If there's any question about what we discussed this evening, any correction on what has been said, we have a few minutes remaining. Once we have finished before the end of our time. Any question? Any comment? Correction? Okay, we'll stop here then. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khair. And inshallah, whoever is not in a hurry to leave, we're going to stay for a few more minutes and have some refreshments, a little bit something light to eat and something to drink here in the masjid. Whoever doesn't have to leave, inshallah, you're welcome to have something with us just for a few moments. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khair.